Jazz 91.9, the Jazz of the City. Jamal Ahmed here, and I'm joined by, I have to say, he truly is one of the elites in the world of jazz here in Atlanta, and one of the stars of the Atlanta jazz scene. I've been hearing the man's name for many years, and I've actually seen him play a few times, but it's an honor to meet the man, Mr. Gary Motley. How you doing, sir?
I'm well. Thank you very much for having me.
No, it's a blessing to have you. And like I said, you're an institution here in Atlanta. How long have you been here in the city?
I have been here 24 years now.
Long time.
24 years, yeah.
Where'd you come from?
I came here from Birmingham, Alabama, actually.
Really?
I did. Okay. And as I tell people, I actually came here. My original plan was to be here for 1 year, and I was headed to New York. And 24 years later, I'm still headed to New York. But I got here and one thing led to another, and it's just been a wonderful experience for me.
Well, we're so glad that you stopped here and didn't keep it moving, because you have been a blessing to the scene, making the scene very rich with your influence. Let's talk about your influences, because you're a pianist, of course.
Right.
And you know, I could ask you that cliche question, who inspired you, but who was it that really moved you in your life to pick up the piano?
I think, growing up at home, you know, my mom played piano, my sisters played piano, so I was always around it, you know, hearing the music. And then my dad had his blues records there and stuff, so that really, you know, kind of bent my ear a little bit. But when I started taking, you know, jazz seriously and gaining more knowledge and insight into it, different people, Oscar Peterson was a big influence. And then later on, you know, I went through various periods of, you know, checking out Wynton Kelly and, you know, and folks like that. And eventually Bill Evans and Dave Brubeck. So, yeah, just a lot of different people. I think with each one of the artists that I mentioned, they all had their own unique contributions to the music in terms of their style and their approach to the instrument. So just really became a student of the music and still am.
Oh, and, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that whole style of a pianist, because every pianist has their own touch.
Right.
Some guys play a lot harder. Some guys mm-hmm. play a little softer. How would you describe your touch?
You know, it's I guess probably it's really difficult to really see yourself. I think the biggest thing that I try to focus on is trying to be as musically honest as I can be. And you know, I'm a pretty big guy. So when I, you know, if I need to get some sound out of the instrument, I know how to do that, you know. But at the same time, just because you can doesn't always mean you should. So it's being in touch with different things and understanding, you know, with that touch, you know, how to have finesse, you know, and that sort of thing. And yet when you need the power of it. And again, all of that is part of just studying different people and seeing how they deal with it. I would say, you know, I go through different periods. I don't know exactly what period I'm in right now. I think at this point in my life, I'm, after having been a student for so many years and really working to achieve and accomplish things, I think I'm finally getting back to the thing that brought me to the music in the first place, which was just there was something powerful in it and that was really moving for me. So I'm really enjoying playing more now than I have in a long time. So it's really about making music for the sake of making music.
Oh, wow. So you just mentioned being a student, and you're actually the director of jazz studies at Emory University, which is very essential because not only is jazz in that pantheon of academics where it needs its own programs, but there are so many young people that need the assistance of someone like you to guide them into what the future of jazz will be. Let's talk about that role. How long have you been doing that?
I have been director of jazz studies at Emory going on 10 years now, although I've been at the university for, I believe 16 years, but officially as director of jazz studies for the last 10 years.
Mm.
And I think in that capacity, certainly jazz is America's national treasure. This is a unique thing that is unique to us here in this country that we all can take ownership of. But I think it's also important that we not forget where we came from. We have to honor that tradition. And especially, you know, there are purists who will say, well, you know, that's where it ends and that's where it needs to stay. But we've got to forge ahead. We've got to move forward and open up new frontiers and that sort of thing. But in order to do that, we have to prepare students and we have to give them a sense of that tradition so that they know you have to know who you are before you know who you can become. And I think that's part of what we do in this mission with what we do. You know, there are those people out there who want to go out and play this music and they want to make an impact. They want to create something that is going to make a difference. And then we have other people who can appreciate that. And we have to have both. We have to, you know, as you know, here with the radio station, you know, you've got to have listeners. You got to have those people who are tuned in and can appreciate what you're trying to offer.
Right.
So if I have a student who comes through and decides that, you know, they really want to deal with this and they want to go out there and do something with it, that's great. If I have someone else who comes through and says, hey, you know, that's really not for me, but I have a healthy appreciation for it, then that makes all the difference in the world because, you know, you never know. Those are the people who may be on Capitol Hill lobbying for the arts to make sure that we keep keep music in the schools and that sort of thing. So it's just as important that we educate our listeners and educate our audience about what this music really is about so that they do maintain a sense of appreciation and ownership because it is. It's uniquely ours.
Right, right. You know, I'm sure most of you, and if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with pianist Gary Motley, who's going to be playing at the High Museum on Friday, September the 20th, for Friday Jazz at the High. We'll talk about that in a little while. But getting back to being a director of jazz studies at Emory University, many of your students are very young. You know, it goes without saying, of course. Some were born, say, in 1991. And if you juxtapose someone who was born in 1991 next to someone who was born in 1951, you're dealing with two different people,
right?
Who have different experiences. How are your students, what are they saying about jazz music and how it applies to their generation?
Well, that's one of the unique things about jazz is it does transcend age and a number of things. Jazz has been really a platform for bringing people together. I mean, in and of itself, that's how it kind of came into existence is when we started looking at different cultures being kind of placed, having to coexist. So one of the neat things about with young people now, because we really are trying to use technology as a way of reaching kids because that's, you know, that's the world, the digital world is where they live.
Right.
But good music is good music, and what we are exposing them to is good music and just saying, first and foremost, check this out. This is a different thing, and getting them to see how they can relate to it. Helping those students, especially those who want to perform this music, helping them to find an identity in that. And that's not anything different than what Miles and those cats were doing back in the day. That's how they got turned on to the music,
right.
You know, so... once again, it's the same sort of thing. Making sure that's the common bond that I think we all share when we're trying to deal with this music is, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from. It's also an interesting thing. I tell people about this. Jazz is about freedom of expression. And you can look anywhere around the world in any culture where people are suddenly allowed to freely express themselves. One of the first things that you see show up is jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Check any place around the planet, and anytime you see that, all of a sudden, jazz shows up. What is it about? Jazz is about the human experience. It's about overcoming. It's about being able to have an identity. It's democracy, being able to have a voice and be heard. That's what it symbolizes. So if you look around the world and you start to see all of a sudden, you know, in an oppressed environment that's no longer oppressed, what's one of the first things? Because art... you know, emerges from it, the culture that's around it.
Right.
That's the first thing that you start to see. So getting people in touch with that and going, wait a minute, there's a little bit more. I mean, there's this musical thing that's going on with jazz, but there's this other spiritual or philosophical thing that happens with it as well.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because some of my favorite pianists are from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because they kind of approach the instrument like it's a percussion instrument almost.
Absolutely.
But they express that. When they leave Cuba, all the constraint that's happening there, they come out and it's like they're fire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one thing, too, when we were talking about young people and how they see jazz now in the 21st century, one thing that a lot of young people don't have are a lot of the clubs and the venues that existed years ago to help nurture this culture. But you are going to be doing something that allows people to see jazz. And actually a brilliant element, because it's like art meets art. You know, you're at a museum playing art. Talk about your set that's going to happen at Friday Jazz at the High.
Well, we're going to have a quartet tomorrow evening beginning at 5 o'clock. We're going to actually begin the evening with a trio, and then we're going to add another gentleman with us and become a quartet to kind of, you know, build a little fire there as the evening goes on. But it's going to be a trio that consists of myself playing piano, Justin Chisarek on drums, and Chris Rickenbach on bass. And we'll be playing a variety of music. I have some original compositions that we're going to be doing. We'll do some traditional things. We probably will not do some of the more expected things. We have a few surprises and, a few unexpected turns, I'll say, that we want to do in order to keep it interesting. But the most important thing is that we are playing live music. It will be traditional jazz. And, you know, we'll be, as the cats say, we'll be getting to the get to, you know, but, swinging and really having a good time and trying to help people to enjoy their experience there at the museum. I think it's important that we, you know, things are changing in society and in this world so much that we want to make sure that we do hold true to that tradition and that tradition of live performances. And so it's important that people come out and continue to support those sorts of things. As you said, we don't have a lot of the clubs that we used to have back in the day, and we don't have a lot of the venues that we had. So it's even more important now that we continue to support places like the High that are, you know, having these types of series, so that we can still make sure that we keep the people connected to the music and the music connected to the people.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it, because I know you're going to keep it swinging.
Absolutely.
And it's going to have a feel. And I want to talk to you also before we head out of here about the future, because we were talking off mic about something special that you're preparing for next year. Can you talk about
sure,
that?
Sure, absolutely. As you mentioned, I am the director of jazz studies at Emory University. So in addition to dealing with my educational responsibilities there, I'm also a part of the artistic development and in terms of the people that we bring in. And one of the neat things that I've enjoyed being associated with that institution is they allow me to maintain my industry affiliation. So through that, I've been able to bring a number of people that I know from the industry in to do performances as a part of the university's concert program.
Right.
So with the Emory Jazz Festival this year and coming up in February, I'm bringing in vocalist Barbara Morrison to perform with me. I'll be joined by Sean Dobbins on bass, on drums, and Rodney Whitaker, who's from Jazz at Lincoln Center,
right,
as you know,
right.
On bass. So we'll be doing a trio with Barbara Morrison. I've also been doing quite a bit of writing over the last couple of years for strings and chamber orchestra and that sort of thing. So as a part of her concert, we're going to be doing, we'll do some small group stuff with her, but we'll also be having her to perform with the Emory Symphony Orchestra.
Mm.
So yeah, my days are kind of consumed with writing that music, because that's a whole different thing. And so I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to that. And Barbara Morrison, she will put soul in anything.
Oh, she is wonderful. I had the first opportunity I had to work with her was I was in Europe last summer, actually performing at a jazz festival with Carmen Bradford, as you know, who lives here in Atlanta,
yes.
Who formerly sang with the Count Basie Orchestra. And while I was there as a part of the festival, they asked me if I would be willing to do a concert with Barbara Morrison, and I said, "Let me think about it." Yes. And so I got an opportunity to work with her while I was there, and we hit it off and really had a wonderful time. So I invited her to come here as a part of what we're doing, and she graciously agreed. So I think it'll be a treat for Atlanta, for those people who are not familiar with her work. I hope that it will be a wonderful introduction to a wonderful, wonderful artist.
Yeah, I think so. And that'll be in the dead of winter. So you'll be warming some souls with that performance.
Absolutely.
Well, we look forward to you performing at the Friday Jazz at the High Museum of Art on Friday, September the 20th. I'll be hosting that, Jamal Ahmed. And of course, that starts at 5 o'clock.
Starts at 5 o'clock. Once again, I'll be joined by Chris Rickenbach on bass, Justin Trisark on drums, and Randy Hunter will be joining us on saxophone.
All right. Well, please don't be a stranger, Mr. Gary Motley, okay?
All right. Absolutely.